always good to see everyone who has taken the time, made the effort to come out to the meeting. Today, I want to look at a portion of Scripture in the New Testament in the Gospel of Mark. First chapter, Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Take a look at the faith that this man has in the Lord Jesus Christ. If it is the Lord's will for him to be cured from his leprosy, he would be. Verse 41 says, And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. For a few moments today, I want to share a few thoughts with regard to salvation, with regard to how a person can know that they are truly on their way to heaven by using this little illustration of this man who has leprosy. You know, there are physical ailments that we can have in this world. And I'm sure we've all had our physical ailments. We've had flus. We know what that's like. We have headaches. We know what that's like. Backaches and so forth. We know what physical ailment is like. The physical ailment of cancer is probably something even more severe and so forth. And there's others who suffer with grievous terminal illnesses as well that attack them on a physical level, on their physical body. But physical illnesses or disorders are not the only disorders that we can experience in life, as you well know. There are other disorders that can attack us on a mental level as well. Disorders such as depression, disorders such as anxiety, and so forth. Those aren't physical disorders, those are mental disorders. They can attack us on a mental and emotional level as well. But you and I are not just a body and a mind. But you and I also have a spirit that is inside, and the Bible teaches us that there's a great disorder that is within our spirit, and it's called sin. And it's a very real disorder. This disorder is just as real as cancer would be to your body, or depression would be to your mind or your emotions. Sin is a real spiritual disorder before God, and it really does exist. And when you go through your Bible and you take a look at people who had leprosy, the Bible teaches us that sin is a lot like leprosy. Just leprosy hits the body on a physical level. Sin hits you and me on a spiritual level. I don't want you to think about the comparison between the two just for a few moments. Leprosy is a disease that back in these days there was no cure for it. Leprosy was a disease that would spread very, very rapidly. It was contagious. And when you take a look at this problem of sin that you and I have on a spiritual level, this disorder, spiritual disorder, it is something that is very contagious. The Bible tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You and I were born in this world sinners because our parents were sinners, and their parents were born sinners because their parents were sinners, and it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You and I were born with this disorder because it's contagious. We got it from our parents. You see, it's not necessarily that you became a sinner or I became a sinner the first time we sinned. That's not how it worked. We were born sinners. We were born with this spiritual disorder, and thus we sin. You know, it's like a dog. It's not born a fish first, and the first bark becomes a dog. You weren't born something else first, and your first sin, you became a sinner. That's not it. The dog barks his first time because he was born a dog. And you sin your first time because you were born already polluted with sin and sinful nature. When you take a look at leprosy, leprosy is highly contagious. They'd have leper colonies where those who had leprosy would go out of the city and they would gather together in what they called a leper colony because it was so contagious. And if those lepers had saw anybody walking by who didn't have leprosy and they were coming too close, the lepers would put their hand over their mouth and they would shout out, unclean, unclean. And that way the other person would get out of there because leprosy was that contagious. Sin is something that is contagious. Sin is it's a nature that is contagious. So when you think of sin today, I don't want you just to think of it as behaviors that are against God, because that's symptoms of a sinful nature. But you and I actually have a sin nature that is inside that causes us to perform sin and to do sin against God. It's a real nature that is inside, and it is contagious. I want you to think something else about leprosy. Leprosy is something that starts small. And it begins to grow. It starts as something that looks very small on the skin, and it looks innocent in its first appearance. But it really isn't innocent. It's deadly. Leprosy is deadly. How would you feel if you went to the hospital, and you sat down there, and they took a blood test, and they came into the room, and they said, "We're sorry to inform you, but you are HIV positive." How would you feel? How would you feel? You'd say, "Where did I get it?" You know, you can get it. Somebody can prick you with a pin and you can get it. It's a blood disease. It's very contagious. And that's what it would have been for them. They'd have this little spot on their skin and they would look at it and it would get analyzed and the doctor, as it were, would come in and say, "You are positive. You're leprosy positive." And the devastation that would rack their soul would be very similar to a doctor telling you, "You are HIV positive." And you would sit there and you would be stunned. I'm going to die from this. It's like a doctor telling you you have terminal cancer. That you're stunned. Starting with something so small. But you know, God can expose to us our spiritual illness before him of sin, and it sometimes doesn't sting. It doesn't hit. In Spanish, they say, no cayó el 20. It doesn't register. There we go. In English, it doesn't register. This is what I have. This is what the problem is. And you know, have you ever had time in your life where you just stopped and considered, you know, I'm a guilty sinner. I'm polluted with sin. I have to give an account to God for this sinful nature that I have. It doesn't matter how many sins I commit. I have a nature inside that is sinful. And it's at enmity with God. And this is fatal. And it's not just something that will affect me while in this world, but something that will affect me as well as in eternity. And just not only in time, but also in eternity. Leprosy starts small and spreads. Sin can look very innocent on the surface. And it can look small and it, like as if it won't do very much. But you start dabbling in sin and you'll discover that sin will take you farther than you want to go. And we sing that a lot, don't we? Slowly but wholly taking control, just like cancer does, doesn't it? Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. So when the doctor tells you, "Listen, you have this leprosy that is there, you have this sin that is there, what are you going to do about it?" Stop and consider. God tells you, who cannot lie, his diagnosis is absolutely perfect. It's bang on. He says, "You're a sinner. But what are you going to do about it? What do we do about it? The fact that we're sinners." In this day, the lepers knew they could do nothing about it. And they would just go out into the leper colony, and that's where most of them would die. But you come to this man here in this book of Mark, in Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, in verse 40, and it says, "There came unto him," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "beseeching him and kneeling down to him." Just look at the picture here. Here's this man with leprosy. He knows he's going to die from leprosy, and this idea of leprosy is just weighing heavy upon his heart, but he knows there's a Savior. There is one. Hey, I heard about this man who, you know, he went and he's healing people. He's even raising people from the dead. You know, if you were HIV positive and the Lord Jesus Christ was coming here to Norco, do you think you'd probably want to go out and see him? You'd probably want to go out and see him. Especially if you had heard that he had healed other people around here. Especially if you had heard he had raised other people from the dead from around here. You'd probably want to go up to him. And how would you approach him? Would you approach him like, "I have a right to be healed"? Would you do that? That would be the wrong approach. This man realizes that if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't heal me from my leprosy, he has every right to turn me down. He's under no obligation to heal me. He's no under obligation to see my case and take it up. No under obligation at all. Here this leper comes up to the Lord Jesus Christ and he kneels down before him. He's showing submission. He's beseeching him and saying unto him, "If thou wilt," if you want to. because he knew that the Lord could make him clean. You know, if you want to be clean from your problem with sin, you have to be able to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in a very humble fashion, realizing that he is under absolutely no obligation to pick up your case. He's under no obligation to save you. He's under no obligation because he's Christ, he's God, he can do what he wants to do. To come unto to God and feel like he is somehow or another obligated to serve you is a very proudful attitude. No, no. To come before the Lord in humility, realizing he has a great gift he could give me if by faith I could ask him. And you know what? I also realize the Savior wants to. He wants to. Take a look at the verse in verse 41. And Jesus moved with compassion. Stop right there. The heart of the Lord Jesus Christ was moved toward this man. That's an amazing thought right there. He loved him. He was moved toward him. I know those of us, you know, before we were saved, those of us who are saved, remember back and we realize that the Lord loved me and gave himself for me. His heart of compassion was moved toward me, and in love, he died. Though God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can you imagine what it would be like for Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a heart that would be moved with compassion? That's an amazing thought, because to Christ, leprosy wasn't a big deal. It was something very small. To this man, this leper, it was a big deal. It was his life. But to the Lord Jesus Christ, he could just say the word and it was done. So the Lord, I mean, for him, the leprosy wasn't a big deal. What was a big deal was he saw this man's humility and submission, realizing that he was in full dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation. That is what moved Christ. That's what moved his heart toward him. Have you ever come to that point where you realize, you know, I am totally indebted to him when it comes to this problem of sin? Now, for a moment, I want you to consider the purity of Christ. If sin is something that is contagious, if sin is something that starts out looking small and innocent but permeates all of mankind, I want you to look at the Lord Jesus Christ for a moment. He's sinless. Absolutely sinless. Was there anything you could do to avoid being polluted by sin? Nothing. You couldn't. You were born in it, and that's how you live your life until Christ saves you. There was nothing you could do outside of Christ to avoid your sin. But sin had no power on him. When it came to this idea of sin coming down through an inheritance, it didn't pollute the Lord Jesus Christ. When it came to this idea of the Lord Jesus Christ living in this world so overwhelmingly polluted by sin, there was not an influence that could pollute the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary and God poured upon him all of our sin, he still couldn't be polluted with sin. Such is the purity of the sacrifice that died for you 2,000 years ago. There's nothing you could do to avoid sin all on your own. But sin had no power over him. Has complete power over us, but had absolutely no power over him. And here's the Lord, and he says the word, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand. Look at that for a moment. If you had a leper right in front of you, you'd never put forth your hand to touch him. If somebody had HIV right in front of you and they had an open wound, would you put your hand forth to try to touch the blood? I don't think you would you? Because you knew that that's lethal stuff right there. Same thing with a leper. You would never put your hand forth to touch a leper. Here's a man who lived his life being rejected because of his condition of leprosy. Nobody would have touched him. The feeling of someone's hand coming onto his shoulder to give him a touch of reassurance was not his because of his condition. And yet the compassion of our Savior to do something that everybody else could not do, to reach out and to touch him and not be defiled by his sickness, he would feel the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ in his love touch him that day. What an amazing thing. Probably nobody had ever touched him for many, many years. But the Lord stretches out his hand and he touched him and said unto him, I will. And then he speaks the words, be thou clean. Do you know the word of God is powerful, and it will not return unto him void. The word of God is not just black and white print across your page, but the word of God is living. your words aren't living. My words aren't living. Your words and my words are just merely sound waves which interrupt molecules in the air so that it can be transported to your ears for you to understand what I say. That's all our words are. Noise transmitted by interrupted molecules in the air. That's all our words are. They're dead sound waves. That's it. And in and of themselves, as they leave our mouths and as those sounds leave our mouths, those sounds are powerless. Those sounds in and of themselves are not alive. But the Word of God could say, let there be light. And this was not just the moving of molecules to transmit a sound wave, because this was said before the molecules were invented, before the molecules were in existence. Let there be light. Boom, there it was. Such is the power of God's word. God's word is alive. And as it moves out of his mouth, it moves living. It's alive. And the Bible tells us it will accomplish that for which it was sent. His words, as they go out, they're alive. That's amazing to think. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he spoke things, it was far more powerful than your words and my words. Your words and my words can slice people's emotions up, but that's about the best they can do. But his word could heal a leper. Yours can't. He could say it, and it happened. Such is the power of the word of God. Can I tell you, the word of God wants to come in and forgive you of your sin as well. And it is equally as living and powerful and true today as it was 2,000 years ago. And that is this. The Lord Jesus Christ could say, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Are you willing to come to him? Those are living words. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he hung upon the cross of Calvary, he shed his blood for your sin. And as he hung there, he had a purpose in his dying there upon the cross so that you and I could be saved. It comes to the question of your sin today, when it comes to the question of this spiritual disorder that is yours and mine that we were born with, how are you going to deal with it? There is a remedy that can be yours. There is a remedy that is being placed out there for you by the same one who healed this man from his leprosy, and that's the Lord himself. And he, as it were, puts it out there, and he says, listen, here's the remedy. Listen carefully. This remedy is not money to a church. This remedy is not church attendance. This remedy is not good works. This remedy is not baptism. This remedy is not church membership. This remedy is only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, period. That's it. I wonder if your sin has ever weighed upon you like a strong diagnosis from a doctor who would come in and say, you have terminal cancer. Would you, as God comes in and says, you're a sinner, does that weigh heavy upon your heart? Can I tell you that if it doesn't weigh heavy on your heart, I wouldn't want to trade places with you for 1 second. Not for 1 second. Because in order for a person to be saved, they first have to know what it is for the Holy Spirit of God to have pushed that button. And the Holy Spirit of God makes it real. Your sin is taking you to hell. A preacher can't make that real to you. A Bible scholar can't make that real to you. A family member can't make that real to you. When it's the Holy Spirit of God who comes and he puts his finger right on your heart and he says, your sin, and he presses right there. He just presses on that pressure spot. Your sin. Have you ever felt that before? Because that's the first step that needs to be taken before anybody can be saved. When the Holy Spirit of God presses that button. That's why I say that if the Holy Spirit of God hasn't done that in your life, I wouldn't want to trade places with you for 1 second. I remember when he did it to me. And the weight of my sin felt serious. It would take my sleep away at night. It would make me feel uncomfortable to sit in meetings like this where the gospel was being preached. The weight of my sin was a serious thing, and it was the Spirit of God that was doing that to me. But I'm going to tell you, he puts the pressure there with regard to your sin, and he presses that little pressure point and makes you feel uncomfortable for a reason. He's doing that to make you see the severity of sin, how he sees sin, how bad sin really is, and also to bring you to the point where you feel, I'm ready to give this up. I don't want it anymore in my life. It is so much in bondage and enslaving me, and I see the severity of sin. Take it away from me, Lord. That's the first spot where he puts his finger on your sin. That causes a sinner to come to the Lord Jesus Christ like this leper and humbly come before him and say, take my sin away. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Take my sin away. And that repentant sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord says, I will, be thou clean. If you have simple faith that I have died for you on the cross of Calvary, all of your sins can be washed away. I will, be thou clean. And then that person is then liberated and the pressing of the Holy Spirit of God upon that person is then released. And the person is saved. People have talked about sin as being like a burden. They come to the cross and that burden is just left. That's like the Holy Spirit of God just lifting his finger right off the pressure point. He's saying, you're saved. I want to tell you, when a person gets saved, that pressure is released. I know I'm on my way to heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. I want to just try to make it as simple as I can today. You can be saved in the seat where you're sitting. You could be saved right now. And know what it is to be on your way to heaven before you leave this meeting today. And you say, how do you do that? The Philippian jailer asked that same question. Paul and Silas came out and said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I've listened to that message many times and tried to figure out what it meant to believe. And often felt very confused. If I only knew how to believe, I would. But I don't know how to believe. You know, during this series of meetings there in Culver City, I asked a question to one of the kids. I took one of the nights. My dad took the rest. And I asked a question to one of the kids. I said, how many people here know where you were born? It was a lot of kids that raised their hand, but I pointed to one of them, and I said, where were you born? And he said, I was born in St. Francis Hospital. And I said, do you remember being born in St. Francis Hospital? And he smiled and he said, no, I don't remember being born there. I said, so how do you know you were born there? Well, that's what they say. That's what they told me. And so you just believed what they said? Yeah. I don't remember being born in El Salvador, is what they tell me. But I believe them. And I've been putting it down everywhere as I go. When you fill out applications, where were you born? El Salvador, El Salvador. Why am I putting it down on the applications? Because I believe what they told me. I just took it by simple faith. And I want to tell you, I didn't sit there and try real hard to believe. I didn't sit there and go, I wonder how to believe this now. I just can't get it. I don't grasp it. It's beyond me, my reach. I never had trouble believing that. Now all of a sudden, Christ Jesus comes up to me and says, I paid for all of your sin at the cross of Calvary. And I'm sitting here having trouble trying to figure out how to believe. Now tell me where there's any sense or logic in that. None. None. The only one who could add confusion to the word believe is the devil himself. The only one who can make a sinner confused to what it means to believe is the devil himself, who doesn't want you saved in the first place. Believing is one of the most simple things that a person does. They can do it without even thinking hardly. Salvation isn't something you do without thinking. I don't want to communicate that at all. But I do want to say this. If they told me I was born in El Salvador, and I take that by simple faith, the Lord Jesus Christ tells me he took my sin at the cross of Calvary, and I'm going to take that by simple faith. That's where I'm going to place my faith. He said he paid for my sin, and that's what I'm going to believe. And you know what? That is what it would take for you to be saved sitting in this meeting right here, right now. You could leave this room saved, knowing he said it, I believe it. And your faith would be based entirely upon what Christ said. That's it. I'm a guilty sinner, but it starts out with the Holy Spirit of God saying, your sin, it's a serious thing. That causes a sinner to come to Christ realizing he's the only remedy to my sin. And they place simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the convicting power is lifted as they realize my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful again for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for his work on the cross for our sin. We thank thee for this very simple message of the gospel, and we would pray, Lord, that it would have its desired effect upon each one of us here as we would consider our salvation. For those who are not saved, to know what it is to close in on the offer of salvation even today, even before this meeting is over. Thou canst do it, and we pray that thou reach and save. We put ourselves in thy hands today, too, for the remainder of the day. If the Lord be not come, that all will be done for thine honor and glory, committing this in thy hands, in thy Son's name. Amen.